Welcome to another episode of At the Table with Patrick Lencioni, where everything we talk about is related to changing the world of work so that more organizations can be more effective and less dysfunctional, and employees can be more fulfilled and less miserable. I'm your host, Pat Lencioni, and I've just been to the dentist, and though you might not be able to tell, half of my face is numb and my tongue as well. And I'm joined by Cody Thompson, my co-host, who is not numb. How are you doing, Cody?
Right. I guess I'm the only one that gets to see that droopy lip.
I know. I had to say it, though. Most people don't notice, but when you do, you want to just get it out there. And we have Tracy Noble, our producer and adult supervisor here, and she doesn't have a microphone because we had to ship one to Lake Tahoe, where I'm going to be doing a couple broadcasts this week, but she's going to be joining us for a few comments that we need her to make. Today, we're going to talk about what, Cody?
The title is Problem Solving and Pop-Tarts.
Yes, and that will make sense in a few minutes.
Maybe even to me.
Yes. And in fact, you're going into this podcast. This is a model we came up with a long time ago. Tracy's going to tell us how it came about. So you're not that familiar with this.
Right.
And so you're going to actually serve as our, you're going to kind of ask questions to try to better understand it.
Yeah. This is one I've seen in our books and like even directed some of our customers to at times, but not one that I've like fully internalized. So I'm going to play the part of asking questions and trying to pull this out of you a little bit.
Right. And so to explain the title of today's podcast and just kind of where this comes from, I'm going to turn it over to Tracy now, because this is a 20-year-old model and she was there for the beginning.
Hello. Oh, I'm so honored that I get to explain this. It's crazy. So Pat and I were, this was about 20 years ago, and we were sitting in our office in Emeryville, California. It was a big office space. We had a little dingy kitchen, and this was at the very beginning of our firm. So we were coming up with ideas all the time. So we were in the kitchen, and we were talking about conflict and issues and what problems were, like what led to problems with conflict. And we were eating Pop-Tarts. And it was just one of those memories that was so clear. And Pat just had this epiphany. And he came up with what we call the issue resolution model in our little dingy kitchen in Emeryville, California.
So it wasn't about what flavor Pop-Tart is best. That's not how this...
No, but I think they were strawberry Pop-Tarts, if I remember correctly. Yes, we were in Jelly Bean Square. That was our first office. It was called Jelly Bean Square. And they actually made jelly beans there. And our office was the old loading dock. Huh. It was actually pretty cool.
That's great. So what made you guys, like, what was the content of the conversation that made you, you know, reveal or start to dig through how are we not able to resolve issues? Why even invent this model?
Yeah, that, and Tracy and I were talking about that because we don't know. Okay. We don't remember at all. But one thing I wanted to say, because Tracy just passed the microphone back to me, is that we had terrible ants there. And I think it was Jelly Bean Square. They're like, hey, there used to be jelly beans in this place. What's going on? But we don't remember. Hmm. But we were just standing there and I was like, hey, you know something? And let's go through and explain the model right now. And one of the good things about this is, you don't need a graphic. I'm going to explain this graphically, but what I want people to do, it's very easy to understand it mentally. It's like a target, like an archery target, right? Mm-hmm. And the very middle of the target is the issue or the question you're trying to resolve. It could be like, should we embrace a new strategy? Should we open up a new line of business? Should we hire this person? It can be anything. Mm-hmm. You know, should we renew our lease? Should we double our size? Any issue you're trying to resolve, and this is what we constantly do in business mm-hmm. and in work, is let's resolve this issue. Let's make a decision.
So that's the bullseye of the target.
The bullseye.
Yep.
And so we go, so how are we going to do that? And the first thing you have to do is go one layer outside of the issue itself.
Right. So the ring outside the bullseye. I'm looking at the thing right here.
Yeah. The first ring is what's preventing us from making a decision is probably, the first ring is, we need more information. Mm-hmm. But information can be data. It can be perspectives. Opinions. What are the other things it says in there?
Opinions. So you have informational obstacles, facts, perspectives, opinions.
Right. And so most people go into a meeting or try to resolve a conflict or an issue, and they say, okay, so what do you know? What information do you have? What perspective do you have? What's your opinion? And everybody explains that, and in a perfect world, or in a world where people didn't have emotions, if this were Spock, that would be enough on Star Trek, right? And you'd go, thank you for that information, opinions, and perspectives. It's very clear that this is the decision we should make.
Yep.
It would be very rational and very information-oriented. Here's the thing. Even though we all know we're human, most people think that's how you resolve issues. And if you can, by all means, do it.
Right.
If that's all you need, you know, just do that.
But that's what we think is all that's needed. We go into meetings and we say, hey, all we have to do is get some data and some facts and we'll be able to come out of there with the right decision.
Right.
And there's another layer.
There's multiple layers. And I think one of the reasons we came up with this is because we were like, how come we're having a hard time making this decision? Or it might've been one of our clients. They keep exchanging the same information.
Mm-hmm.
They keep going to meetings and essentially they were banging their heads on a wall. Like, well, here's the data. Here's my perspective. Here's my opinion. Why can't they stop and then just make a decision? We realize there's something else going on. And this is where the model gets interesting.
Mm-hmm.
There's something else going on beyond the actual information that you have to address. And in order to get to the issue itself and make the decision, you have to keep going outside on this target further and further from the middle if there's something else that hasn't been resolved.
Right. So the middle is the issue. The second ring you have is the informational obstacles. And then the third is environmental obstacles.
Environmental obstacles. Because you're sitting there thinking, well, we're exchanging this information. What's the problem? Maybe it's because we're in an airport. You know, I mean, if you've ever been in an airport trying to make a decision, it's like, well, it's not private, it's noisy, it's stressful. Or maybe it's because we're having this conversation and we have 10 minutes in a very tactical meeting and this requires 2 hours.
Right.
Or maybe it's because today isn't a good day to do this. You and I were talking about, you and I were with a client once and they were in a conference room making a decision, but right outside the glass-walled conference room, which wasn't all that airtight, there were people working.
Their employees.
And it was a very confidential conversation. So as soon as we'd get into something kind of dicey, they'd have to lower their voice and they'd look around.
And whisper.
It must have seemed suspicious.
Right.
And so it's like, this is probably not the right environment. What are some of the other environmental obstacles, Casey?
So you mentioned
Cody. Your brother's Casey. I always
happens all the time.
Yes.
I have a twin brother. Let's see. Physical, that's what you just talked about.
Yep.
Politics, mood, company culture.
Right. These are things in the environment, in the water you're swimming in, that are preventing you from actually just exchanging information and making a decision.
And too often we're not aware, basically, that the environment can actually impede us from being able to get to the issue.
Right.
And you talk about like even doing this at home. The environment at home, like we try to make you in meetings, Stu, sometimes you even talk about like the conversations that you have while brushing your teeth in the bathroom or while passing each other in the hallway or while running out to your car to pick up the kids.
Right. Hey, Pat, should we have your mom move in with us? Okay. I'm leaving for work in like 30 seconds. So should we go sit down and have dinner and really talk about this?
Right.
And it's why in an organization, we say have an offsite. Mm. You know why? You know what the biggest reason to have an offsite is? Is so you're not interrupted with tactical things that are going to draw your mind back into the day-to-day so you can really think about the business in a bigger picture. But the culture of the company can be that too. It's like, you know, the culture is impeding us from actually having the right conversation because it's a culture of interruption or it's a culture of you know, I've been in companies where people were trying to decide something that was super political.
Right.
And they're like, I don't even want to have this conversation here.
Yeah, you know, it brings up one of the clients, I think I was working with either you or Jeff, but they were so busy. It was like they had a culture of busyness. So in the middle of our 2-day offsite, some guy's in the back taking notes, or it looks like he's taking notes, but he's not really listening to what's going on in the facilitation. And we stopped the thing and we're like, hey, are you taking notes? He was actually doing another project that was due like the next
day.
Wasn't
that the guy that got mad at you?
Yeah.
That was you and me.
Oh yeah, it was us.
You were pretty new here.
Yeah, right.
And you did the thing we told you, like you entered the danger and you said to the guy, excuse me, are you taking notes about the meeting? No, I'm doing this other work. Yeah, you're not supposed to do that.
And that's one of your guys' problems. And then he did not love that.
No, he didn't.
And but that's like a cultural problem, right? They think,
environmental.
Oh, we're busy. We should be able to multitask, and that too often prohibits people from actually getting to the issue.
Right. And we'll be in a meeting. We'll go, everybody close your laptop. Okay. That's an invite. People don't think you're hearing what they're saying.
Hmm.
Regardless of the information itself, the environment isn't providing it. You know, I think about people think like, oh, okay, peace in the Middle East. We're not going to get into that. But it's like, is it just a matter of like exchanging opinions and like, well, here's the border and here's what happened. And it's like, oh, no. You probably need to go to an environment where you feel safe to have that conversation.
Right.
Right. But even then you go, hey, this is a great environment. We're at Camp David, you know, we're in, I think about like years ago, the president would sit down with people from both sides of the Middle East. Let's create an environment where we feel safe. But sometimes that's not enough.
Right.
Sometimes you're like, okay, we're in the right environment. We're here in this conference room. I feel safe. You feel safe. Why are we not getting resolution? And that's where you have to go to the next ring in the target.
Yeah. The next ring you have here is relationship obstacles.
Right. And it might be, hey, maybe our countries or us as people or our departments don't trust each other, or we have a history of not getting along, or even our Myers-Briggs types don't line up and we're not aware of that.
Right.
Now, most people are like, we don't have time to talk about stuff like that. Let's just make a decision. But if the information isn't leading you to make a decision and the environment isn't making the decision, maybe it's the people involved have to address a relationship challenge that's preventing them from trusting each other or listening to each other.
Yeah, it's interesting. So you have like legacy event in this circle. I mean, that could be something that broke trust a while ago. And so you can't get beyond that to even get to the issue. You have style acceptance. You talked about Myers-Briggs. Reputation. Tell me a little bit more about what you mean by reputation.
Well, it's like I've been in meetings before where you go to talk to somebody and you're having a hard time doing it. And somebody goes, you know, I had one the other day. This woman I was talking to, and she said, Pat, I'm kind of scared to talk to you about this. I'm like, why? She goes, because you're the founder of the company and you have all this information and you're pretty intense. Hmm. And I was like, oh my gosh, that was actually more of a, well, that was relationship.
Yeah.
And I was explaining to her like, oh, I'm so glad you said that. Let's talk about that. We put that aside and then we actually had the conversation. But until we addressed the fact that I wasn't aware of her being nervous and I didn't know how she was perceiving me, that was getting in the way of us just having a great talk. Hmm. You know, I once worked with a team where two people on the team didn't like each other. So they had many legacy events. And we were sitting down to try to help them make decisions about the future and the and strategy. And finally, we did the Myers-Briggs. And one guy said, yeah, I'm an INFP. And it says here, I'm a perfectionist and I procrastinate and I don't make decisions until the last minute. And the guy that didn't like him said, really? Read that again. And he read it again. He goes, so you don't do that to piss me off? And the guy said, no, this is just how I am. I'm wired this way. It drives my wife crazy too.
Right.
And the guy said, do you want me to help you with that? Because I understand that now. I think I could help you. And the guy was like, literally, like little glistening tears were coming to me. He goes, I would love it if you would help me with that. They went from not really understanding each other and not trusting each other to actually addressing the issue of their relationship. Now they could go actually exchange information and make a decision.
So they can move further inside the bullseye.
Because that's the idea. You want to go back to the bullseye.
Right. That's great. So the other one you have in that category is position. And by that, you just mean your position at the company, right?
Well, and here's the thing. I'm the founder and the CEO, and I'm talking to somebody far more junior and far not close to me. I don't work with them every day. And I'm like, and to me, I don't care. I'm like, I talk to everybody the same.
Right.
But that's not actually wise of me not to understand that for them, that might have actually been a little bit intimidating. So I'm like, you know, I'm really sorry. I just want you to know, I don't see you as any different than me, but I realize that you see me in this other things. So if I have an intense opinion, it's going to weigh heavier for you.
Right.
And so I need to be aware of that. I just want you to know I'm aware of that. And so we could address that. So your position in the company, the culture, I mean, that you guys had a relationship problem in the past.
A legacy event. Reputation, style acceptance. That's great.
Teams will come to us and they'll say, hey, we had some really bad things happen a year ago. Can we just move forward? And can you help build our team without talking about that? And the answer is no.
Right.
We might only have to talk about it for 15 minutes. Somebody might just have to say, hey, that really sucked and I'm really sorry. And that was probably my fault. And I feel really bad still. And like, oh, I feel bad too. Sometimes all you have to do is like let the air out of the balloon. Then you can go back to the issue. This isn't about taking hours and hours of deep tissue emotional therapy. Sometimes you just have to address it.
Basically, what you're saying is if you're having trouble or getting to a conclusion on an issue, go out to the next ring, go out to the next ring, go out to the next ring until you figure out which of those obstacles are preventing you so you can go back to the issue.
Yeah. And now let's just say this. Those are the easiest ones to address, although you got to do them. The next one, which we'll get to in a second, is the hardest one. Mm-hmm. But so what we're talking about is this. We have a decision to make. Let's exchange information. Wow, that doesn't seem to be giving us resolution. Okay, let's go out to environment. Do we have enough time? Are we in the right place? Is the culture in support of this? Do you feel comfortable? Yes. We're not in a hurry. This is a great place to do this physically and culturally. What about us? Is it about the relationship the three of us have or you and I have? And you go, okay, I don't think that it's that. Sometimes it becomes the last obstacle is it's an individual.
Yeah.
Sometimes there's one person and it's not, and people say, wasn't that a relationship one? No. It's not, because it's really just that person. In fact, they have the same issue with others. They have a problem with their behavior, or they have a problem with their attitude. They're either immature or they're really unique. And so to say it's relationship means both of us have to figure this out. Hmm. To say it's individual means that person is really hard. And we've all come to conclusions like this. And in your organization, you might have that person. We once worked with a company that had this scientist who was brilliant, but impossible to deal with. And they literally moved him into a different office, gave him his own office, and they didn't let him talk to anybody. He would essentially slide his ideas under the door, and then they'd socialize them. Because it wasn't that like people had a relationship, right? It was like that guy was wacky.
Hmm.
And that's when it gets really hard. But let me tell you, it's better to kind of acknowledge that than to keep bloodying your head on a wall.
Right. Let me read off some of the things you put in here in this category, which would be self-esteem, values.
Yeah. So if a person doesn't have self-esteem, trying to resolve an issue is really hard.
Right.
Their values might be different.
Skills, style, IQ even, EQ. Experience, knowledge. You use this thing that you learned in college where you always talk about that dance routine where if you're dancing with a partner and you end up stepping on their toes and that happens every time you dance with another person, that it's actually you're the bad dancer, right? And I think that's sort of what you mean in this obstacle. When someone is a common denominator in multiple different meetings, like if the three of us have a meeting and when I'm gone, you guys are doing great. And then I come and things just get messed up over and over and over again. And that happens every meeting I go into, we have an individual issue.
Right. Now in a perfect world, Cody, we would sit down and say, hey, Cody, you know, we're having a hard time making this decision. I think it's because, and you'd want to be honest and gracious, but you want to say, I think it's because you actually don't have, one of the things was experience or knowledge. So I think maybe you want to just not sit it out, but recognize that we've been dealing with these issues for years. And maybe your lack of knowledge is preventing you from understanding what we're doing. That's an individual issue.
Right.
It might be, but when it's EQ, it's like, you know, sometimes Cody, I don't know that you actually are picking up on the nuances of these conversations. You're a great guy, but I don't think you're understanding how you're coming across emotionally and how it shuts everybody down. So we need you to work on that, or it's going to be really hard for us to make good decisions. You know, it could be any of those kinds of things. Or, hey, you know, Cody, we don't share the same values. We have a totally different underlying operating system about what we think is important in the world. And as long as that's the case, I don't know how we're ever going to make a decision on this.
And so let me just ask you, this is fantastic. I love this because you can apply this to every circumstance that you're in. But did you intend for this to take, you know, issues on in the context of a team? Right.
Yes.
So those types of conversations you're having about an individual is someone on our team who's preventing us from defining the issue or really getting down to solve the problem.
Right.
And the relational obstacles have to do with legacy events in that team, those sort of things.
Well, but imagine you're sitting on the bus next to somebody and you're going to the 49er game and you say to them, hey, I think this quarterback, I think he's a problem. And that guy looks at you and goes, well, you know, I did notice the other day that he's been doing this and his statistics are actually better. And you go, oh, that's really interesting. I didn't know that. That's really interesting. And so you've actually had a conversation based on data, perspectives, and opinion that informed both of you. And you go, yeah, maybe we're going to do okay this year.
Hmm.
But then you start to, you're saying, well, did you know about this data? Did you know about this data? And you're like, you know, maybe sitting on a bus next to a stranger isn't the best way to make this decision. What I mean? And that goes into the environment, to the relationship. And maybe this guy's a psychopath.
Right.
You know, so.
it's an onion. It's a layer.
Exactly. And maybe the issue isn't that important after all.
Right.
So sometimes the idea, I like to think about it, it's like a jellyfish. I think when you're like small and you're dealing with the issue, but you have to go out and address those things so you can come back in. You know how they go like out and then back in.
You're making some hand gestures that are helping me. I wish everyone could see this. With your lip and your hand gestures, this is quite the sight.
The drool is like the water from the ocean. But the thing about it is the problem is human beings think that decisions are made intellectually based on information and perspective.
Right.
And that's often not the case. And that's why they get so frustrated with one another. Whereas it would be much better to stop and go, listen, we've just gone through the same data set three times. You're repeating yourself. I'm repeating myself. We're not getting any closer to convincing each other. What else is going on here?
Yeah. You know, and this goes back to so many of the concepts we've talked about on this podcast, because we did one called Data's Overrated, and in a different way, we're sort of saying that like there are other ways, the other obstacles that prevent people from getting to the issue aside from just facts, figures, numbers, you know, like that's not the way that we approach solving any of these problems.
Right.
And it's not the way to honestly get the best answer either.
I'm amazed though. I think because it's obviously a lot safer. Remember the whole Lucille Ball thing where she's crawling around the living room and Ricky says, what are you doing? And she says, I lost my earrings. And he says, did you lose them out here in the living room? She says, no, I lost them in the bedroom, but the light out here is much better.
Yeah.
The light's much better in data and perspectives and opinions.
Yep.
It's like, it's not emotional. It's like, it's pretty objective. So people, I think, are reluctant. They're going to go, well, let's just keep reviewing the data, because they go, do we want to talk about the environment? That's a little bit more dicey. Do we want to talk about our relationship? That's even more dicey. Do we want to talk about the fact that one of us might have a blocker here? Mm. So people go, well, let's just stay in the place where there's absolutely no room for emotional. The problem is that when you do that, it actually gets emotional for all the wrong reasons.
Yeah, you're right. So it's more dangerous the more you go out, but those things have just as much of an effect on impeding the decision-making as the data and facts and figures.
Yeah. Right.
And too often we just stay right as close to the center of this bullseye as we possibly right. can.
So just this morning, here's an interesting one. So I get to work. Chris Jensen is here for a couple of days. He's our guy from Portland who's going to be moving down here. And Laura calls me. Chris and his family were over for dinner a couple of weeks ago. And I guess he left his glasses there. And Chris says to me, simultaneously, Laura calls me at the office. I just arrived and says, hey, do you have Chris's glasses? And Chris says, hey, Pat, do you have my glasses? And I'm on the phone with Laura and I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about. She goes, no, I told you, I put his glasses on your desk at work at home and I told you to bring it to him. I'm sure she's right. I'm sure I don't remember that. I don't remember it registering. I mean, that bad on me. But I'm like, Laura, I have no idea what you're talking about. And she's like, well, check your bag right now. And I'm like, I just got here. I'm going into a meeting. Can I? She's like, just check your bag. And it was like, here we were in the stressful environment on the phone trying to resolve this issue. And I was like, you know, I'll talk to Chris about it and we'll figure it out later. She's okay, I'm out of here. I'm talking to you later. And it was like not an easy environment to even something simple like that. Obviously, we trust each other. And okay, I'm forgetful. That might be part of the problem. But it was just such a funny thing. We were kind of getting annoyed at each other. And it was like, this is not an easy time to figure this out. We'll do this later.
The environment is a huge one that I think we take for granted a lot. We're talking about redoing our entire office space because we started having sort of impromptu in the hallway type conversations that were, are we really talking about this? Are we making decisions on this? Or we'd make them in passing and not everyone was on the same page. So, I mean, that can play a huge role in inhibiting people from like you said, getting to the right answer. Or
you
having
know what's
the right-
funny? This Tracy, isn't this wild? Tracy doesn't have a mic, so if you can't hear, but Tracy and I came up with this in the kitchen eating Pop-Tarts. That's how I remembered it. Hey, that's that Pop-Tart conversation we had. Just last week, we have this new exciting thing we're developing in the table group. And she and I were sitting at our desks and we were probably like, hey, this is good coffee. Hey, look at that. It's getting kind of hot outside. Hey, have you ever thought about this one thing about the model? And we made a huge breakthrough on this model that we're developing. Mm-hmm. And Tracy was like, you know, that was big. And I was like, yeah, it kind of got lost in between the coffee and the temperature outside. And so the environment is really important to sit down and go, let's go in there and really talk about this.
That's great.
And it's easy for our conversations to go sideways when we don't know what we're doing.
So this is super useful. I think like anyone who's listening to this can say, okay, we have this decision we want to make. Let's, as we're making the decision on our team and we're unable to make progress, take one ring out.
This is on our website, right?
Somewhere. Yeah. And I'll put a link to this actual model. Maybe we'll get it up on a PDF before we launch.
Honestly, just post it in your cube or in your office wall or someplace so that when you're talking to somebody and you're like, why aren't they hearing me? Stop and go, hey, let's look at this. Is this the wrong place to talk about this? Or do we need more time? Or is there something in the environment that's, have you and I, are, is there something that we haven't resolved that's making it hard for us to trust each other? Or is there something I'm doing or that you're doing that we need to address? Because that can save you days and weeks of really unnecessary angst. I mean, serious pain. Because if you just, you know, did the jellyfish thing and went out to one of the outer rings, addressed that and came back to the middle, you might find that the issue gets resolved like that.
And this is a lot of what we do in two days with clients at our offsites. And they come back from that going, I can't believe we were able to make that amount of progress, because you eliminate all of these obstacles, whether they're environmental or personal or relational.
I didn't even think about that, Cody. That's what we do with our clients. Mm-hmm. In that session, we go, let's make sure that we can, because we don't go in there to say, let's hug.
Right.
Let's do team building for the sake of team building. We want to teach them how to actually make better decisions and run their organization better. But we have to address all these other things. And we have a schedule for looking at those to make sure we're doing that.
Well, and this is why it's so important. I mean, I think about even a couple of weeks ago, our podcast, What Do You Suck At? On the individual obstacle, like you said, how am I contributing to not participating in this conversation? Well, knowing your weaknesses, knowing like, I don't have the knowledge or the experience, or maybe my EQ is a little low in the midst of this. Like, this is so helpful for me to walk into my team environment, knowing what I'm, my own baggage that I'm bringing in, that's going to maybe be an obstacle for us.
Well, vulnerability is so key to that outer one. Because when people can come in and go, you know, I might be missing this because I'm kind of clueless when it comes to like the between the lines kind of stuff. That usually goes all the, you're like, oh, so you know that about yourself. Oh yeah, I do it all the time.
Right.
Oh, okay. I think that might be a play here.
Or style, you know, it's like, hey, I can come across like I'm advocating for something, but really I'm just discussing, you know, that's one for me. I always have to make a disclaimer like, hey guys, I'm not advocating right now. We're still in brainstorm mode. And that is so helpful for other people to know when you bring that into the conversation.
Right. Or imagine somebody from New York who grew up in New York City that's used to like, hey, that's the stupidest idea I've ever heard. And then like Laura, who's an introvert and grew up in the West. And she's like, I don't think you're supposed to get excited.
Yeah.
If you don't address that, it doesn't mean you have to go do some days of counseling. It just means you go, hey, you know, I'm a New Yorker and I probably are going to get excited. I might even like say something that's a little bit mean. Just know it's not what I mean.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, great. Now let's look at that information.
That's great. This is awesome. I'm like taking this all in as like the first in-depth dive we've done on this, but I can see myself applying this at home, at work, you know. So I just hope that listeners will put this up. Like you said, put it on your desk and let's use this.
Awesome.
Solve some issues.
Very good. Short podcast. I'm headed off to vacation right now.
Yeah, enjoy.
Yeah. Hopefully my face, I'll be able to feel it by the time I get there. Tracy, thanks for being here with us. And Cody, we'll see everybody. I'll be back on Monday. We're going to do another one.
That's right.
All right. God bless everybody. Have a great first week of summer.